Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the March 10th, 2016 edition of the Wimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast. This is your host, Graham Chapman. Thrilled to be with you guys today. Having a lot of fun already. Though this is only our second show, have a lot of fun in store for you today as well. Just like when we had John Wycheck last time, we have one of my good friends in franchising, Pat Conlin, the president of Blimpy Long Island, Inc., going to give us some great information, some great insight on what it's like to be an area developer for the nation's only and longest lasting and longest thriving fresh sliced sub franchise brand, the only one that's lasted and has thrived for more than 50 years. So I'm going to have a great time with him. He's going to tell you more about what it's what the area development opportunity entails, how he and the fellow ADs support franchisees around the country, and the big difference that makes in the lives of aspiring franchise owners like those listening in today. So very excited to have everybody. Just a couple things for everybody. Exciting news. We are working with Kahala to launch a BlimpyFranchise.com website. It's going to be a brand new, separate franchise development specific website that will exist outside of the Blimpy.com consumer site that currently is up there. It's going to have podcasts, blogs, articles, yes, shows like this one, that provide aspiring owners with educational tools they need to make a smart decision when it comes to opening their very own franchise opportunity. So very excited about that. And continue to tune in to the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast for more information on that website, the tools you'll find there, and how it's going to become a perfect resource, perfect portal of information for franchise prospects interested in opening their own business. But without further ado, I'd love to go ahead and bring on my friend and my partner in crime at the Blimpy side of things, Pat Conlin, who is a true lifer with the Blimpy brand, a true lifer in franchising, goes way back with Blimpy to the times when Tony Conza and the other two of the three friends had launched the business and were doing their part to build this brand into the national icon that it's become and still is. And thrilled to have them with us. Pat, thank you for joining us on the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast, my friend.
Thank you, Graham. Thanks for that very impressive introduction. I hope I can live up to it.
You've never been one to sell me short, my man. So I guess speaking of being a lifer, or speaking of your story, you know, if anyone checks out your LinkedIn profile or knows anyone about you, I mean, you literally have been with Blimpy since the very beginning. So you know, you're a young guy. What I guess what initially brought you to Blimpy? How'd you end up with this fantastic franchise brand?
Well, I had always wanted to own my own business. Going back to when I was a young kid and I had a newspaper route when people still had newspaper routes. And then I worked for a guy who owned an ice cream store and ran that business through high school and college and saw him as his own boss. And my sister and brother-in-law had gotten into a Blimpy franchise in Hempstead, New York by Hofstra University.
Yeah.
This is back in the late 70s, early 80s. And I went to Rutgers University in New Jersey. And when I graduated, I had an interview with Blimpy International, which was the parent company at that point. And instead of getting involved with my sister and brother-in-law at the outset, which we thought would be better, I started to work for the parent company in Georgia just as the Georgia market was starting to explode with Blimpy franchises in 1985. And about a year after that, in 1986, I moved back to Long Island and became the area developer for Blimpy for Long Island and also opened up a couple of franchises, of Blimpy franchises of my own. And so that's how I got involved in Blimpy, and I'm still the area developer to this day.
Gotcha. So 30 years in Long Island. What I guess why Long Island? Is that just a place of development that made sense for Blimpy at the time? Is it a place that you wanted to be? Why Long Island specifically?
Well, originally that's where I grew up, and moved to Jersey when I was about 11, 12 years old. My father got transferred there, and like I said, my sister was going to Hofstra, and that's how she got involved with Blimpy, because there was the store there, and she eventually married her husband who had the store, and so that kind of after going down to Georgia for a year, and then there was just the opportunity to come back home to Long Island and develop the region with Blimpy stores.
Got it. I'm sure some things have changed. Some things haven't changed quite as much in the Long Island area in the last 30 years. I mean, obviously, you know, Blimpy is a Hoboken, New Jersey-born brand. It's a tri-state icon. It's something that resonates extremely well with folks in your backyard. But I guess before I jump into that, and that's obviously the crux of our show, but I guess I'm interested, and this is something you can certainly speak to as someone who sells and builds and maintains franchises in the Long Island area. You know, maybe not even just specifically to Blimpy, but what makes the Long Island area specifically in the tri-state a great place to own a business?
Well, it's an area, the New York, New Jersey metropolitan area has a high income, and Long Island certainly has is a high income area.
Yep.
And a fair number of people, I guess, like myself, want to be in business for themselves, and have gone into franchising and independent businesses. But over the years, they talk about changes. When I first got into the business, there were many more mom and pop delis that we all grew up with when we were kids. But over the years, those have died off, and you see more and more chain restaurants, and that goes for full service restaurants and that have replaced old Italian restaurants. So people in this area have money, want to invest money in a business, and know that the demographics are strong to be successful.
Got it. That's perfect. So I'm looking to go into business for myself, and I think a lot of folks out there, particularly those listening to this podcast, have a pretty good understanding of, you know, the franchisee-franchisor relationship. You know, you as a franchisee, if you're in Long Island or anywhere, you're operating as an independently owned and operated business that is, you know, using the national brand that is protected and grown and, you know, showcased and highlighted in a big way by the franchisor, the national corporation. It's a mutual beneficial relationship there, and there's support that you get from the franchisor side that you wouldn't get if you were running a business on your own. And I think a lot of people understand, you know, if I'm going to become a franchisee, you know, I get to, you know, own and operate this business and use the brand and some strategies and lessons learned and things like that the franchisor can provide. I think things get a little hazy when you start, you know, talking about what an area developer is and what their role is. And I know that there are some brands or some franchises that define that term differently. But in your, I guess, in the Blimpy case specifically, in your case specifically, because you guys have franchisees, you have, you know, Blimpy, who's owned and operated by Kahala, which is the franchisor in this instance. What is the role of the area developer? What is an area developer, you know, for our audience who may not know what that is?
Okay, great question. In Blimpy, in the Blimpy system, years ago, Tony Conza and his partners decided the way to grow the brand was to sell off areas, regional areas, to entrepreneurs such as myself. And we were, so we bought an area based upon a population and a geographic area. And then
yep.
We were charged with looking for people to open up franchises in addition to if we wanted to open up a Blimpie franchise, we could do that ourselves, and to grow the area. And for lack of a better definition, I kind of term it that as a Blimpie area developer, you're kind of like a mini parent company in your area. We provide the operational support and enforce or help with the operational standards for each franchisee. We do the location work in looking for and helping secure what we believe are going to be successful locations for a Blimpie restaurant. And we're also involved in the marketing co-op, in forming plans and executing marketing plans for each individual franchisee and then the region as a whole. And then in addition to that, the franchisee and myself both have the parent company, which is now Kahala Brands, behind us with their full accounting department, legal staff, real estate department, operational staff, marketing department, training department. So you have not only the local support, but you have the national support as a Blimpie franchisee.
So in a way, or in multiple ways, but you know, a lot of franchisors try to suggest that you know they offer the best support around. I think it's kind of hard to argue that it's a or argue against the fact that you guys offer an extremely high level of support, because not only do you have the resources afforded to franchisees by a parent company that has the type of history and success and reputation that Kahala has as a franchisor of multiple food brands, right in your backyard, you have a resource like yourself, an area developer who can come stop by the store, who has, in your case, decades of experience working with this brand, serving customers, you know, selling the freshest sliced subs around. You got this high-powered arsenal that's, maybe not in your backyard, but gives you some resources you just don't have as an independent business owner. And you also have someone who lives in your market, lives in your area, who can provide lessons learned that truly impact you on a regional basis. That's pretty powerful stuff.
Absolutely. You know, you have by being an area developer, and I can speak about Long Island, I've lived here most of my life. So, you know, I know the island, the two counties, Nassau and Suffolk, like the back of my hand. And, I mean, that helps when I'm discussing with a potential franchise prospect when he's asking me about certain areas or with an existing franchisee that may want to try something different or a marketing item, and I can tell him about a location on Main Street in Massapequa or a location, or if he asks me about a location, more times than not, I'm going to know, if not the exact location, I'm going to know the area. Where you won't get that if you're, you know, you could be talking to somebody from a parent company that could be, you know, 1,000 miles away, but they're not going to be knowledgeable about a specific region. So I think that also gives me credibility as a franchise person with the franchise prospect.
No question. So from a prospect perspective, which is good because some of our listeners here or most of our listeners here are prospects. Some may live up there in your area. You do a great job helping them find the right location, which is key, obviously. Getting financed, making decisions on, their marketing programs at launch, things like that. How about with your existing franchisees? You know, how many franchisees do you work with on a daily basis? And I guess what's the difference that you can make in the lives of a franchisee that's already in operation?
I can more than likely, if they have an issue that they're encountering in their in their location. I have already gone through that in my time as a Blippi area developer.
Okay.
So I can give them a quick answer or a quick resolution.
Sure.
I deal with my franchisees locally on an everyday basis. They know that I'm a phone call away. If there's an emergency, it's probably a quick ride to their location. Excuse me.
No problem.
And, since I've owned a store, operated a store, I also can jump behind the counter and make a sandwich. So it's not, I'm not somebody that's reading you answers out of a book.
Yep.
I can touch it. I can feel it. I can show them, this is the correct way of baking bread, and this is why we do it this way. And this is why we give a bounce back coupon to a customer standing in line. And this is, why we give excellent customer service, because we want that customer to return to us one more time during the week.
Yep, exactly. So speaking of, not just the system, the processes, the support you provide in helping a franchisee do great things, tell me more about the type of franchisee you're looking for. I mean, I know it's difficult for any, area developer or franchisor to, specifically define the exact, perfect franchisee, because they're all different. They come from different backgrounds. They are different ethnicities, come from different countries, different educational and occupational backgrounds, different personal likes and interests. But since you and I know each other so well, I mean, I can point to a couple of franchisees I know you have done very well, and I would suggest, and I certainly want you to build on this and tell me if I'm right or wrong, but I think that some of your best performing franchisees, are former employees, who spent their time behind the counter, in the back of the shop, welcoming customers in, those who invested early on, like a guy like Jatin, who's been working there, and the Aurora brothers, been working there since they were teenagers. So I guess elaborate on that a little bit. I mean, do you see the same thing I'm seeing, that those guys are typically great fits? Of course, that's not necessarily pigeonholing you in a suggestion that you're only great franchisees, but I would imagine that their, percentage likelihood of doing extremely well is pretty high.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Those two franchisees that you mentioned, both groups worked in stores for many, many years, so it was very easy for them to transition into franchise ownership, because they knew the operation like in the back of their hand. They didn't have to be taught the nuts and bolts of how to make a sandwich. What they lacked was a business ownership knowledge. They knew how to make a sandwich and bake the bread and clean the store and take care of customers, but they didn't know payroll. They didn't know paying rent. A lot of it, they were not strong in marketing. They knew that they took coupons, but they didn't know how to form a marketing plan. With those particular people that were employees and good and proficient employees, it was more important for them when they went through our training process to learn how to become a business owner. Because also now they own the store, and they were the owner of the store where they used to work next to, side by side. Some of these people became their employees, so that was a little bit of a difficult transition for them.
Oh yeah.
Now they became the boss, so there was could be a little friction in that. There's really no, I wouldn't say that's the only way to be successful. I mean, what we look for when we're interviewing a candidate or a prospect, they're interviewing us and we're interviewing them. We don't award a franchise to everybody that comes in because it's not right for some people.
Sure.
And we want them to be successful, and we don't want somebody who we don't think is going to be successful to tarnish our name and hurt our other franchisees.
Sure.
So the biggest thing is they have to be, from what I've seen over the years, is you have to be outgoing, friendly. You have to enjoy dealing with the public because you're going to be dealing with the public every day, and that's how you're going to grow your business. And the saying that somebody told me a long time ago is that you can't teach friendliness.
Nope.
You can teach how to slice meat and you can teach how to bake bread, but you're friendly or you're not. So that's the biggest thing. If I'm sitting across a table from somebody and they're talking to me about becoming a Blimpie franchisee and I'm asking them questions and I'm getting one word answers or no responses, or I hate dealing with teenagers, or I see customers, and they're complaining about, customers that they've seen in other places. It's probably not the right fit for each other.
Sure.
So friendliness, communication. We have a fair amount of stations in our front line where we're constantly communicating back and forth with the customer.
Yep.
So they have to be able to communicate not only with the customer but with their employees that they're going to hire. It's good that they have not technical skills but, an aptitude to get their hands dirty. I've seen some owners that are completely hands-off, and to me, again, I think that you have to touch it, feel it, be able to make a sandwich or feel a bread and say, this bread just isn't right, and I wouldn't eat this, so if I'm not going to eat it, I'm not going to give that to my customer.
Yeah.
A completely absentee owner is not really somebody that we're looking for. We look for multiple unit operators and also encourage our existing franchisees to go into multiple unit ownership. Because then when you get from one to two or three Blimpie locations, then you're running a small business and you're going to be going by one store one day and stopping by another store, and you're going to be making a marketing plan. Then you're a little more sophisticated franchisee.
Okay. That's great stuff. Now I will have to say I will have to not call you on something, but say what I think here, which I have to imagine that whoever told you was that people are either friendly definitively or they're not has not met a lot of older women in the South. That's a very tri-state New York thing. It's like, hey man, it's either black or white. You're either nice and I can get along with you or you're not.
Well, the line is actually from a Mel Brooks movie. I can't remember what movie it's from, but it's either you got it or you ain't. So that it always stuck with me, and I apply it to different things.
No, I love it. As a man from the South, there's a lot of men and women who have a little bless your heart mentality to them, who they'll be friendly to your face, and it might change behind doors.
Well, I think that's all over. That's not just the South.
Let's take it to. We have a few minutes left, and I appreciate that was a fantastic response to that question. Let's take it to the next level because I know some of our prospects are interested in. They may be a multi-unit franchisee. They may have a little bit more of a savvy business mind coming at this from a much more experienced level, and they'd be more interested in area development opportunities than, you know, just being a single unit or multi-unit franchisee guy. Do you know much about the current area development opportunity? Is that something you can speak to, sort of what is required to be an effective area developer, if there are other markets around the country that, you know, they'd be interested in doing what you do personally?
Yeah, there are several areas that are available. And what Kahala and the Blimpy brand team look for is somebody who lives in that particular, in a particular geographic region.
Yep.
Possibly was a business owner before or a current business owner, has knowledge of the area, has some real estate knowledge, some sales background, because you're going to be doing franchise sales, or if not, have a franchise sales person or broker network that you're looking to bring on with you.
Yep.
And again, not unlike becoming a franchisee, being a people person.
Mm-hmm.
And having a personality, and outgoing personality. And also you're going to need operational skills, because you may very well seed the area by opening up if it's a area that does not have a Blimpy franchise in it currently. A lot of times how we all grew a long time ago in the Blimpy system was the area developer would open up the first Blimpy franchise in the area,
right,
and use that restaurant as his sales tool. And
sort of like a micro company owned store.
Correct. Right. The area developer would own it, and it would be, you know, a what's the word I'm looking for, is a show
model,
place.
Like a blueprint, a model, like a place where they can,
yep,
test stuff and use it as a place that they can train folks and bring people in and show them what the model franchisee is like in that area.
Absolutely. You know, it'd be a great location. And so, especially in an area where some people might not be familiar with Blimpy,
yep,
it's much easier if you seed that area with a store and introduce your prospects to the great Blimpy sandwiches that we slice, and that really sells itself.
No doubt. That's cool. I guess speaking of you guys as a group, because I know that there are a number of you area developers around the country. I guess the only thing we haven't really touched on is how you guys help each other. You know, not just in the tri-state area there, where you guys join forces to, you know, go to trade shows together, like the International Franchise Expo over the summer, which is a big and fantastic show for you guys as far as finding leads and sharing lessons learned and making better decisions and becoming smarter as a regional unit up there. I guess, how do you area developers as a group work together, work with the Kahala team? How do you guys all work together to make the brand better, and then to make each other better?
Years ago, Tony Conza, when they developed the area developer model, and after we probably got about 10 to 15 area developers on board, we formed an area developer advisory council called ADAC. And it's a board made up of area developers that are elected by their fellow area developers. And,
yeah,
and it's an advisory board to bounce ideas off of Blimpy Corporate and to advertise for franchise sales together, and to bring, and then we also, they bounce ideas off of us also, and you know, we together work on the national marketing programs, any new sandwiches or items that are being developed get run through our board. And there's also a on the franchisee side, there's a similar board called NFAC, which is National Franchisee Advisory Council.
Got it.
And we meet with the Kahala team, the Kahala Blimpy team, 3 to 4 times a year. and we you know, have open discussions about the brand and how we want to move forward. And you know, they don't always agree with us, we don't always agree with them, but that's how life works, and you come up with a consensus. And we all have the same thing at heart, is that we want to build the brand and have each franchisee do more sales volume and open up more Blimpie franchises across the country.
Sure. Oh, and there's definitely something too, you know, quality conflict or discussion, arguments, whatever it is, between open-minded groups that have different expectations, priorities, and needs. You know, when you're all working together in a fashion like that, that leads to some pretty powerful stuff. Without conflict or challenges, there's not a whole lot going on. There's not a whole lot of improvements and growth being made. So that's all great stuff. Last question for you, if I have to unfortunately cut you loose, because you know I always love talking to you, would be, why is the time now to buy into Blimpie Subs, the freshly sliced franchise?
Well, the Blimpie model is more timely than ever. Sandwiches are, as a segment, are growing.
Yep.
And quality sandwiches. And I, after over 30 years in the business, I still think that that Blimpie has the best sandwich on the market for a quick serve restaurant. And we have a top-notch research and development team that every time we go out to those meetings that I mentioned earlier, they come out with 10, 15 sandwiches. I must gain about 5 pounds to take in all the different great sandwiches that they come out with. And so we constantly, you know, looking to upgrade our menu and bring in some limited-time offer sandwiches. We brought in the Panini Grill years ago and have brought in different upscale breads, the ciabatta bread and the pretzel bread. And we're looking at adding a line of premium-type subs in addition to our regular subs that we carry, which will be more profitable for the franchisee. And we've come out with a new design in the last couple of years. And changed our logo to go back to the original logo, which is it's shaped as a blimp, and it's kind of funny and whimsical, and, you know, I mean, a company that has a name Blimpie, you gotta kind of laugh at sometimes.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a great business model. It's for a quick serve restaurant. It's a smaller investment because it's a non-cooking restaurant, and because there's less equipment involved than a cooking restaurant, less expense in opening up and construction. You don't have a kitchen with hoods and Ancel systems and fryers. Also because of that, your insurance costs are less.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need to hire chef or somebody who has knowledge of operating ovens and stoves and things like that. It's very easy to train and duplicate that process. And so employee retention is higher than it is in cooking franchises generally. It's a very simple concept. What you see up front is pretty much the whole thing: the slicer station, the dressing station, the cashier, and customers lined out the door.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you keep rolling things out that look like that new sandwich, the blimp. I can understand why. I got to come visit you so I can get one.
If I could send one to you, and I think it would keep, I would send it to you. I'd put it in the mail to you.
Yeah,
that's that blimp sandwich is the first of our premium subs that we're rolling out, that we rolled out. And a couple of months ago, we had great success with it. And
delicious.
We redo our menu boards, towards the end of the year, we're going to be redoing our menu boards, and that's going to get a a permanent spot on the menu board based on the sales that we had in the limited time offer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Cool.
Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate you coming on the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast. If any of the folks out there listening in, you know, are interested in reaching out to you, you know, asking you about the Blimpy brand, you know, maybe they do live in the tri-state and up in Long Island looking to invest themselves, how can they reach out to you? Because I know no matter where they live, you are more than willing to lend a hand and tell them all about the great things that are going on in Blimpy.
They can either reach me on my cell phone, which is the easiest number to get me at, which is 516-449-6013, or they can email me at pjconlin, C-O-N-L-I-N, at msn.com. And I'd be
awesome.
Happy to take any questions or comments that anybody has.
Beautiful. Well, we appreciate having you. I know we'll have you back soon and talking about a bunch of topics related to Blimpy and franchising. And thank you for being such a willing guest and sharing your stories.
All right, Graham, always a pleasure.
Absolutely, man. Thank you very much. And for all you guys out there, thanks for joining in and listening in to the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast. As mentioned on our first show with John Wycheck, you know, we're going to have one of these a month, rotating Kahala employees, the folks who are responsible there at that parent company level, area developers just like Pat, who are getting their hands dirty in the weeds with the franchisees each and every day to make sure they're helping to empower their success and the franchisees themselves, folks who are a lot like our listeners who are at one point in time just checking out opportunities, trying to figure out the best business opportunity that fit their skill set and their personal needs. And I jumped into the Blimpy franchise system and had a lot of success with it. For everyone out there, thank you for joining in. Thank you, Pat, for joining us. We look forward to having everyone back next month, early in April. We'll do another one this month in March, late in March, where we bring back the Blimpy Subs Franchise Show podcast and bring in our first franchisee. But thank you very much. Really enjoyed it. And we'll talk to you soon, everyone. Have a great day. See ya.
Take care.